Welcome to The Good Stuff. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of the Sonoma County Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. Good to see you, Carissa.
Good to see you. I know. November.
I know. So
these months just keep going by fast.
I know. And that also means November, pretty much end of harvest.
Yeah. So we actually just did our harvest sort of recap conversation. We actually filmed it. We're kind of doing something new, which is great. We like getting three or four, maybe five farmers and some of our vineyard employees, so members of previous Leadership Academy program at our foundation. Together, we literally do what we call our tailgate talk harvest recap. So it's bilingual, which I'm really proud of, that we are now really bringing in a full perspective of what the harvest season's like, kind of from the vineyard itself, from the employees, and from the vineyard management companies and ranches around the county. So we just did that. It was great to kind of hear. I mean, I think, you know, not a surprise. The harvest started kind of more normal timing. Last year it was so late that actually Steve San Giacomo, who was part of it, said he made an interesting observation that hasn't happened for them since the mid-90s, which is that they did two harvests in 1 year, meaning that they finished in November of last year and then started like in October of this year they finished. So like they, in the same sort
overlapped.
Of 12-month period, they were harvesting the 23 vintage as well as the 24 vintage. So he said that hasn't happened, I think, since like 96 or 97 for them. So
weird.
Yeah, kind of interesting tidbit, a little fact that I hadn't really ever thought about. So he said that that's why they're so tired. But maybe they're just exhausted in general. But harvest started, I mean, I think it started kind of average time. You're hearing about sparkling grapes coming off, or grapes for sparkling wine coming off, the, you know, mainly Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, kind of that first week in August. And then I think it ramped up pretty quickly, but was a fairly condensed harvest. So we were hearing folks that were normally, you know, a 10 to 11 week harvest were finishing in like 9 weeks. Typically a 6 week harvest finished in about 5 weeks. And really no weather pressure. So folks said like climate was great all season, except there was a little bit of a heat spike towards the very end of the Cabernet Sauvignon harvest, which, you know, I think impacted some of the fruit overall and kind of made for a mad dash to get the grapes in before, you know, the Brix sugar level spiked too much on those. But I think, you know, tonnage was all over the place.
Really?
I think,
like,
yeah.
That variable?
Even by grape variety and AVA, we heard Cabernet came in pretty light. Chardonnay and Pinot, last year was a big year for everything, so obviously much lighter than last year, but looked pretty strong. Sauvignon Blanc was fairly light in some places around the county, so like kind of a mixed bag of tonnage, but everyone said so far they've loved the quality. I think just, again, without having pressure in terms of having to pick based on a weather event or impending rain or heat spikes, they were able to really let the fruit, you know, come in when it was ready and, you know, when it had had great development, both, you know, acidity and, you know, sugars and flavors. So I think it's going to be a great vintage.
And so did the majority of the grapes stay in Sonoma County, or are there still a fair amount going to Napa and going to Mendocino or going to wherever?
Great question. I don't think we'll know that. We typically do that analysis when we start to get in our assessments in like January, February, and we see which wineries bought fruit from which growers. You know, typically about 25% to 30% of Sonoma County grapes go to wine programs mainly in Napa Valley. I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of Sonoma County Chardonnay and Pinot Noirs on, you know, Napa Valley sort of programs versus just because it's so much warmer over there, it's harder to grow those two cooler climate grapes.
Yeah. But, well, and even with Cabernet, I mean, Sonoma County Cabernet.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, absolutely. So some of that is going over there as well. You know, we did talk about in the harvest recap too, you did see definitely there was some grapes that went unsold. I don't think, you know, Sonoma County was not completely shielded. We know this is an impact not just in Sonoma County, but certainly around California and actually wine regions around the world, if you follow the headlines, are being really impacted just by, you know, the consumer marketplace and having a couple of big surplus grape years, not just in California, but other places too, really built up inventory. So it's now on us to do a bunch of marketing. No pressure.
And that is what you do.
And it is what we do.
We do well. Consistently, so, and lots of travel involved. And
I mean, we were recently in New York for a Wine Spectator event, which I know we've talked about a little bit on the show, but that was just incredible. Pouring, being one of two wine regions invited in to host one of their lunches as part of the New York Wine Experience. 800 plus consumers in the room. There were 96 tables with 10 seats at each.
For lunch. Wow, that's a lot of wine that
that's
you had to bring.
That's a lot of wine that arrived in New York City. It was great. We traveled with 8 partners, so we were able to showcase everything from sparkling and Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay to Merlot, Syrah, Cabernet, Pinot, Zin. I mean, yeah. So it's fun to be able to talk about the diversity of Sonoma County when you're in that kind of environment with just a ton of wine lovers as well as Wine Spectator team. A lot of the trade are there in the room at the New York event. So, yeah, that was great. So always looking for opportunities like that to promote Sonoma County, our growers and our vintners.
All right. Well, that was a very quick recap for a very, not too long, but long harvest. We will be back very soon to introduce our guests today on The Good Stuff. We are back on The Good Stuff today with our guests in studio from Region in the Barlow in Sebastopol. We have Carrie Theodorf and Johan Eide, the co-founders of Region, and welcome to the studio and thanks for joining us on The Good Stuff.
Thank you so much for having us. It's very exciting to be here.
There's so much to talk about.
I mean, where do we start?
I know. I mean, I love Region.
Me too.
We've spent some time there together. Carissa, you're also a fan. Tell us a little bit about just sort of how, you know, both of your backgrounds and then a little bit about how you met and came up with this idea for Region and tell our listeners what it is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So start, I don't know, Carrie, you go.
You're Johan's brainchild.
Oh, okay.
You presented it to me.
I give a little background. Yeah, we never really thought that we would end up in wine or our own wine startup. I was a mechanical engineer and then entered patent law for 5 years.
Oh, and we were obvious connection.
Yeah. I was trying to put our law office in the Barlow. So I was having actually a beer at Crooked Goat Brewery next door.
Oh, how funny.
And we thought, how could a collaborative, how could a co-working wine approach work in the Barlow? Yeah. Because at the time there's a few restaurants, a few breweries. What concept would do well there? I grew up in Sebastopol, so we've seen it from
everything.
An apple warehouse, gravel
sure.
parking lot to what it is now. And then that slowly morphed itself forward as we read the Silicon Valley Bank State of the Wine Industry reports in 2018. Mm. And a lot of those reports at the time were leaning in directions of just tourism's up, tasting room visitations down. What's the root cause of that oxymoron in the industry, and what are people really looking for? We found the wine pouring machines, that started, and everything started kind of falling together there. And really, at the time, I was working in a co-working space in Petaluma, and so was Carrie, and I didn't really know anyone in events in wine, and we knew that the experiential side of what we wanted to offer was going to be a big part.
Yep.
So we came through, and I said, hey, you're throwing events here at this co-working space. Do you want to check out my pitch deck?
Yeah.
And then we just hit it off from there and went forward.
So
we
that's didn't. So cool. I did
know.
Not know that
it
background.
Was, a rough pitch deck, but yes, it was inspiring.
Yeah. So she was the first to put money in, and also then from
Let's
there, we just, we haven't looked back.
All right, so Carrie, so many questions.
I mean,
one is, what was your role kind of in the wine space when you two met? And then I want to know more about what was rough in this pitch deck.
Yeah. It was funny because I had been collaborating with one of our early partners on wine events, and I was coming in to record a podcast, actually, and I had a bottle of decoy wine with me because I used to work for Duckhorn. That was where my wine industry started. And randomly, Shane had told me about Johan. He's like, you got to meet this guy. He's into wine. He's got this business idea. You got to hear him out. And I'm like, okay. So I just walked over and like, hey, you want some wine? And like, I'd love to hear this business idea you have. And I went in to do the podcast and came out and he showed me. I mean, it's a very, I say rough, but in all reality, it's very nice, very thorough, very detailed to where I walked out of there and I was inspired. And I went home and I told my husband about it. And I'm like, I think we got to do that. We got to be involved somehow. Hmm. I'm like, and I was thinking, oh, I'd just help him with the marketing and the branding or whatever. And my husband's like, well, like, let's invest. Like, let's really do this. And I remember going back to him. We had a couple of meetings. And then the night the fires broke out, actually, on October 23rd this week, we signed the paperwork for Fine Shift Inc., which became Regent. So,
okay,
holy cow,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. And we didn't even have actually the name Regent at the time. It was
Fine Shift. It was a horrible name.
And I'm like, wait, what was it called?
Vine Shift.
Yeah,
okay. Which is just our entity name now.
That's not as sexy as Regent.
No,
no. No.
Yeah. And it was actually hard to get Regent and Sample trademarked in one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For another longer story, another time. That is.
And it was hard to come up with the name Regent. I mean, hours we spent in that boardroom, like just whiteboarding
how
names.
How much wine did it take to get to the region?
All the brands we have now.
It's like good wine. It takes a lot of good beer to make good wine.
Yeah, beer and
wine for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But give our listeners just a sense, if they haven't been to Region, I mean, what was the original concept and sort of how much of it plays out now? Like how much of the original concept is what people experience now and what do they experience?
Yeah, so we've morphed over 4 or 5 years that we've grown and expanded. But the original premise, the experience that we would hope a customer would have coming in is approachability. You know, you're in control of your own tasting experience when you come in. Mm-hmm. And that's what we felt was, we kind of picked the best aspect of what we felt like restaurants have, wine bars have, wineries have.
And brewers. Mm-hmm.
And how do you bring that into one spot? Because, you know, we've all been to wine bars or tasting rooms where you're like, oh, I know the experience I'm going to get before I go there. And our premise was, you know, hey, stop by Region, who's the featured winery this week? What's new? Mm-hmm. Who's being featured? And then the pouring machines and the variety help us kind of just give a sense of place to the region, hence the name. But also it's just everybody now, we feel like, just doesn't want to be told what to do. They want two-day shipping. They want free shipping, free returns.
So make my life easy.
Faster, better, more.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you make it approachable? And it's just, what's the, you know, easiest, least friction way I can have you taste my wine or taste my beer? So at an ounce level or at 100 milliliter level, that's basically the premise of it is that's still the best marketing tool. So on our end, we like to think of ourselves as a marketing platform for producers and partners to support them. But from a customer experience, it's a little bit more of, you know, how are you coming in and having the most approachable experience that you can?
So talk about the machines, too, because, I mean, the machines are kind of the core concept, right, that all the wines are featured from a machine that you can pour yourself. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's also kind of the best of both worlds. I mean, when everybody comes in, they are, you know, deer in the headlights look at 50 wines, you know, 12 machines. It is a lot, but it's the easeability of to be able to taste by the ounce of what you want whenever you want. On the opposite side of that, we have the featured wineries of the week and we have the flight. So you can get the best of both worlds. You can get that connection. And then the machines can be, you know, some people want to come in and they just want to try wine. So they just want to find something that they didn't even know that they liked. And they can, we call ourselves casually educational, and they can do that.
Like
they can find something in the machines. They can read the tasting notes in the book if they want to. They can ask our staff the details. And it's not presented to them and, you know, it's not pushed on them in any way.
So I'm a like 2 to 3 taster and then go back for the less.
Yep.
That's how I region. You should do a whole campaign.
How do you region?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. You got that.
How do you region? I'm a 3+1.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what, and everybody, they all taste different. And we get such a gamut that come in. I mean, you get people coming in, what is an Appellation?
Right.
What is AVA? What is a Syrah? What's Syrah? Like,
totally.
The gamut. And then other people want to know the cooperage and the vineyard and the clone. And
well, you take the risk out of trying things you aren't familiar with. A Gruner Veltliner, for example, or something which I know has been featured, or, you know, something Fermentino or something you're like, I don't know. I know I like white wines, but I don't know if I want
it. Gewurztraminer.
They don't even know how to say it. White right now is 37 Albrino. And most people come in and they're like, what's an Albrino? And you'll like it. Try it.
Yeah. And I also think it's really fun, too, because also when you go and you do like a tasting at a winery, which is also amazing, it can be a totally incredibly different experience, but you're trying maybe 4 different vineyard designates of their sort of style or their house kind of perspective, where it's really fun to go, oh, I'm going to try a Russian River Valley Pinot from this producer, a different Sonoma Coast Pinot from a different producer, and you're getting not only the influence of the region, obviously, or the Appellation, but also just the style of wine, and getting to try them kind of side by side. You're curating your own tasting experience and really educational. Really, really educational.
Yeah. In a very Pernod Ricard, like they don't even know, and they're falling in love with wine a little bit. And that's like, that kind of gets back to our mission and vision. And what I'm so passionate about is the connection to the wineries and having guests come in that would have never probably tried Chenoweth or Eric Kent or some, you know, Flambeau. And they find it and they fall in love with it and they seek out the winery and they go and visit and they become wine club members or they take their families there and it just helps our industry even more. So that's where it becomes full circle.
Yeah.
Well, I do love like having it at the Barlow is such, I mean, I'm sure you could tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, the intention of that, you do get so many people that maybe didn't plan a wine tasting in their schedule or they're locals and they're like, they feel like they've done it all already, but there are, they're still interested in making discoveries so they can come in. I mean, every time I've gone there or walked by region, like people are just hanging out.
Yeah,
it's a very relaxed
lounge space. If you've not been there.
Well, that's kind of where the industry is going too, is the emergence of urban presence, urban tasting rooms, you know, alternative tasting room models. And going to a winery or buying a bottle is intimidating for people.
Yeah.
And in Sonoma County, people on average only go to 1.5 tasting rooms a day. And you could say, how's there's a half, but it's just a stat.
Yeah.
But,
that's an
important statistic.
An important half.
But yeah, it's really, I mean, how many wineries do we have in Sonoma County? And if you're a small, medium-sized producer, how are you going to open up your own tasting room and get them there and compete with everyone? So that's why you see these hybrid models or an urban tasting room or sort of farm-to-table kind of industrial complexes like Tin City and Paso Robles is another example of that, of let's all congregate together in a single location to cap, you know, then it's just a destination where they can hit multiple spots.
And I love, I mean, and I send a lot of people to region and it comes up where they're like, you know what, I have a 10 a.m. tasting and a 2 p.m. tasting, I'm going to grab lunch somewhere and then what do I do for that extra hour, or I have 45 minutes or I might have 2 hours, it doesn't matter, right? Like if you have a half hour to 2 hours, 3 hours, I'm like, oh, go over to Barlow. There's lots of great places, fast casual, to sit down, to enjoy some food. Also, pop into Region, have a taste of wine, try something, stay as long as you want. It's like such a great, I don't want to say filler, but it really can help you bridge a day that you want to spend in wine country.
And it just adds to, the overall Sonoma County experience. We have a lot of people come in, and they'll even just taste one or two wines that they would have never tried before, and they are blown away. They're like, this was so fun. We'll be back. That's the important part that I love.
And talk about that partnership model, because I know we've talked about it, Carrie, when I've been hanging out with you, just about how important it was to support local wineries and find some of those gems that don't have those outlets. So, like, how did you kind of approach that?
Oh, man.
And do we have enough time?
I know.
Thank God we're just in the first segment.
Yeah.
It's morphed. I mean, jump in if you, because you kind of kicked us off.
Yeah, I mean,
we call them
partners, and from a, partners, like a three-tier compliance perspective, we purchase wine from them. Yeah. But,
which is wonderful.
But,
direct. Purchase direct.
Doing everything compliantly is wonderful.
Yeah, that too. Yes. Mainly the partner aspect and, like, actually, yeah.
Yeah, but just kind of going forward and looking at them as a partner, I mean, that is the most important part of what we do. I think Carrie touched on earlier is what we don't have in a wine tasting experience at the winery is the authenticity. So how do we bring those people in? That's how people really fall in love with the wine. Yeah. So it's pretty easy to choose partners and people because this wine sells itself once they meet them and hear their story.
Yeah. And we really, I mean, when we first started, and Johan and I, the business model, I mean, we hit the pavement and we presented to like 250 wineries. And, you know, there was a set of criteria in the beginning. And now, you know, being our own retailer and buying from who we want to, I mean, we have wineries coming to us on a weekly basis.
I'm sure.
And we have a kind of a certain criteria, and we've talked about it before, like independently owned is important to us, locally owned. It doesn't necessarily have to be family, but just independently owned. And it could be one man running the show, which we have many of those, or it could be a wonderful, amazing team like Three Sticks and Aperture, you know, running the show and doing amazing things in the wine industry. So I think we just support really good, and it goes back to, you know, sustainability and the social aspect of it too. And like the B Corp mentality and the business model setup is, how do they treat their employees? How do they treat their farm workers? How do they, you know, how do they farm? Is just as important as the sustainability and organic portion is, you know, the winemaker stories that we know all of our brands so well, and we could almost walk into any tasting room and help pour at
jump
any
behind
moment.
The bar.
That's good to know.
Because we expect our employees
like we're
to
carry
have,
Johan this
we're,
week.
Yeah,
we're an extension to all of the favorites that we have. So
yeah. With the consumers that come in, I mean, especially the ones that maybe are like, what is an Appalachian? I mean, are they bringing up sustainability? Are they talking about, are they asking specific questions about that? Or is that a more sophisticated wine consumer?
I would say it's a small percentage of people that bring that up right when they approach the wall. Like, you know, do you have any biodynamic? Do you have any organic wine? Like, we'll get those questions on the upfront, and people usually bring that up independently, but it is, it's doesn't come up that often.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's more of like even what we've seen these days, and especially in Sonoma County, it's like most of the wineries are so connected to sustainable farming and winemaking that it's almost like a check mark.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
You know, if you're here, you're probably being curated already. Mm-hmm. You guys have done that filtering work. Yep. So there's already that trust kind of with your choices.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we say too. Like, all, you know, all of our wineries in one way or another are very sustainable in their practices, and they may not have the exact certifications, but it's important. And they all know that. We all know that, and it's all important. So we talk to everybody. But it is, if somebody comes in asking specifically for that, it is something that's somebody that's a little bit more educated and looking for those deeper, you know, they're probably going to ask about the cooperage and the vineyard and the management too. Mm-hmm. The people that ask, you know, what is an AVA or an Appalachian? It's like, it's kind of fun because you're like, well, I know where to start with you. Like, you can start at the very beginning and walk them through everything that we love. So it's fun.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Carrie and Johan, co-founders of Region. We are back on The Good Stuff, talking with Carrie and Johan from Region in Sebastopol. And we were talking a little bit about some of the wineries that you work with. Talk about, you know, the when winemakers come in, what is that experience like? What do people get to do? And how often, how does all that work?
Yeah, well, it goes back into like two sides of the space. We have the 50 wines and the wine station machines. But I think the biggest thing that we learned from the SBB reports too is, and just being around wine, the machines are great and they provide variety, but everybody still wants the story. They want the connection. They want to know about the label. They want to know where the grapes are grown. They want to know all the things. So on the other side of the space, we have a rotating featured winery of the week. Every single week. So
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's 52. It's like 52. That's like how many shows we do a year.
There's a couple of weeks that, you know, we take out 4th of July and Christmas, but every week we have a different featured winemaker. And we started when we opened during COVID, and I remember sitting with Tim from Younghagen. I'm like, what are we going to do for your happy? You know, how are we going to get people here? He's like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want my guests to just be able to come and talk about wines with the winemaker. He's like, all right, let's do a winemaker happy hour. So we've literally done Wednesday winemaker happy hours ever since we opened. And it's
so
as
much.
Simple as
it
that.
Great,
like, it's just, it's an easy, approachable price ticket with a little food item, and it's time with the winemaker that you would never get anywhere else. You know, from the small guys to Tim at Younghagen to Fred Scher, all the way up to the Duttons to Ryan Pritchard from 3-6 and Flambeau. So it's just that exclusive time, and it's every week.
And it's casual.
And it's casual. It's totally, again, approachable. It matches the space. It matches our vibe. I mean, we know the wines. We know the flight. We can pour it ourselves. But, you know, our customers see us every day. They get really excited when the winemaker is there. And it's still kind of, you know, Hollywood-esque when the winemaker walks in. It'll never go away, even for me.
Well, I love that you can plan to go, but you can also stumble upon
exactly,
the fact that there's a winemaker in residence.
We always,
you know?
Well, and that's like the amazing part of the Barlow, too, is that we have 4 restaurant menus and we don't have a kitchen.
Yep.
So we can do these really fun, you know, I send the menus to the winemakers a couple of weeks ahead of time. We like, you know, pick out your couple of favorite sandwiches or whatever. And they kind of love that too. And then it's just easy. We fire off the food instantly when the guests arrive, and then we pair it with the wines.
Nice. And so how many wines is it typically?
We try to keep it. Sometimes it's like a by the glass special, depending on the wines and, you know, the price of them. But probably like a flight of 3 to 4 wines. Paired with, you know, the heirloom tomato BLT sandwich from the Farmer's Wife, which is amazing.
Where we should probably sample that.
Yeah,
where is that? With the wine?
With the honey lavender bacon.
Seriously.
To fried chicken from Fern Bar. So, I mean, we have quite the options in the Barlow. And give the Barlow credit. You know, it's morphed and changed into so many things, and it's really found. I mean, the food and wine scene is insane right now.
No, it's really been fun to watch. I mean, I remember visiting the Barlow early days and being like, okay, there's the coffee shop.
Right.
And there was Zazu was there all by himself
love
for so
Zazu.
Long.
Yeah.
And you felt like it was
miss Zazu.
We miss you.
We miss you, Jessica.
I know, come back
to the Barlow. Somewhere.
I know.
Seriously. Doesn't have to be the Barlow.
Though that would be nice.
But it was, you kind of walk around and be like, what? And is this an art gallery? And then like, oh, a brewery. But now you've kind of, it's like a maker space, and you like, you can really sort of feel that vibe everywhere. It's so great.
The hotel is hopefully going to come soon, and it's just the perfect spot for West County. It's easy in, easy out. It's right. You don't have to be in the middle of Sebastopol. It's not all the way out on Bodega Highway. It's been really great.
Walk around.
Yeah. The kid, it's very kid friendly. We're kid friendly, dog friendly. Like, you see all walks of life. Totally. It's amazing.
It's amazing when you're there on a weekend, you'll drive by and like that little, like, I almost call it like the quad space, the green.
Yes.
And it's just packed. It is. People like bringing blankets and hanging out or just sitting down. I'm like,
you can have tacos, ice cream, wine, beer. Yeah. Pizza.
It's a great place. I always take out of town visitors there because it's everything for everyone.
And
then you're in Sebastopol, which you can shoot into the Russian River or the beach, whatever. But so you have this one concept, and then you've opened another one down in San Luis Obispo.
So Johan went to Cal Poly. So when we were approached to open a second location in San Luis Obispo, he said he's going down there. I said, okay, well, I'll stay in Sonoma.
Love it in SLO. But yeah, we have same concept, same 35 winery partners in SLO. Yep. And that was a real stretch for the model of just does this scale? You know, what are our plans to franchise or license this in the future? And it's a completely different wine growing region, but there's so many similarities in the same way. And it was a struggle for us not to make it too Paso heavy, but really wanted to also represent Slow Coast, Edna Valley. All, you know, we kind of cut it off before you go down to Santa Maria, but same concept, but inside a hospitality setting more than what is the Barlow.
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller.
Right, because it's in it's with a hotel, is that right?
Yeah. Right next to the hotel on the on the ground floor.
Great hotel.
So do you think, I mean, is your vision to scale beyond that? Is this something that you could see in lots of different regions, even within a county like Sonoma? I mean, you could do Sebastopol. I mean, Healdsburg's a different different group of consumers, different group of wineries sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we'll be announcing some things in 25 about going
just tell
forward.
Us now.
Yeah,
just tell
us
now.
You have a lot of listeners. Come on.
No,
just kidding.
We've been approached for other areas and, you know, applying the concept in other areas. Yeah. We're just, we want to really have the model high and tight first and do it at the right time where it makes sense business-wise.
Yeah. Well, and I think what we've talked about too, Carissa, is that, you know, people approach us. I mean, we've had Miami, Denver, places in Texas, like we can bring wine country to them too. So there's, you know, it is franchisable and it is approachable in a way that it doesn't have, it's great that it's within a wine growing region because that solidifies it. But being, you know, kind of hybrid out somewhere with the foot traffic, you know, maybe in Aspen or whatever, where we're bringing Sonoma to people, which is what you guys are doing all the time. So
here, here. Let's do that.
Bring it everywhere.
Everybody
drinking Sonoma wine.
Does 50 sound like too much of an expansion for next year? Or is that...
I don't put it past us.
Just a couple.
We could do it. Add it to the list.
Right? Yeah, come on. Yeah. The busier you are, the busier you are, right? Like, you just take on more and get it done.
Yep.
That's how it works. Exactly.
Well, there really isn't anything like it. I mean, you must have looked, you know, around pretty substantially before you launched everything and continuing... I mean, I can't think of anything that comes close to the concept.
I know.
So
congratulations.
You have created something very special.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
But maybe we should talk about sample.
Yeah.
Because you're,
speaking of your second,
taking it outside really the walls.
I know. So you've got the in walls in two places, coming soon more, which hopefully you'll tell us. Tell us about sample. What is it? How do you take wine outside of region?
That's exactly why we started.
It
was just going through and looking at the experience we just talked about. When you come into the store, well, how do you take that home with you? How do you keep that approachability, smallest size possible to taste? So we saw a company in Europe doing a similar format and started building a bottling line in our garage. In my garage in San Luis Obispo.
Wow.
So
it's evolved a lot. This is where the mechanical engineering
It's evolved a lot from there. But overall, just how do we, you know, same concepts as the machines at home with you, but also how do we translate the authenticity? So all of our patents, trademarks are all around the digital experience. So when you tap your phone on top, how are you watching a video from the winemaker, recipe pairings, tasting notes? You can link out and buy a bottle directly from the producer. But again, it's that mentality of why we started it is people just, they're afraid of the bottle. Almost.
Yeah, so approachability.
Like, that's so sad. Fear. This is so sad. We have to help them.
I know.
That's
Yeah, and once their confidence is there, they'll buy the most expensive bottle. Yeah. So that's
but
really, it's
but
that
explain how sample
bridge.
Works. So you feature, right? Like you feature a wine region.
Mm-hmm. Every quarter. We produce a new, different wine growing region. So we've gone from Oregon, Washington,
we've spent a lot
Santa
of time.
Barbara,
Sonoma.
Sonoma, Paso Robles. Yeah. And we curate 7 glasses of wine in each kit, so it's about 700 milliliters total. Comes in right about $50, but we look for bottles that would have cost, if you bought all 7 of those bottles, about $350 or $400 of wine.
Okay, so, and then you actually, how do you know about them? How do you find them? Like, how do you? Is it like a subscription service, like you would like a wine, like a winery?
Yeah, you can gift it or subscribe to it, just like a wine club. On our website, gifting's been really big for us. We're trying to do a big corporate gifting push right now. But yeah, we try to do 3 whites, 3 reds, and maybe like a rosé or orange wine in the middle. So it's pretty balanced in each kit.
Well, and the packaging is so, you know, the cylinder packaging, and then Johan touched on the tapping on the front, but the top is a customizable wood, engraved wood coaster. And you can keep coasters with you. There's all, again, you know, getting back to like casually educational and the little quirks and the little details, we took it into sample as well.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Johan and Karen. We are back on The Good Stuff. And Johan, you wanted to wrap up a little bit on sample because it's such a, I mean, it's a very cool concept. I love it. Everything is proprietary, correct? I mean, like the little bottles that you created are sort of unique to the sample.
The digital tasting experiences, so we own any digital interaction with a beverage sample within the packaging. But outside of that, that's what I was going to bring up actually, is that the bottling, the format, over the last 2 or 3 months, we've merged with our service provider. So wineries that are out there, other retailers that are out there, we give a lot of services now. So bottling services, turnkey kits, ship out. We're doing some awesome projects with Wine Searcher, Flaviar, Vivino, Gallo, Dow.
Oh, wow. Soon to be Sonoma County Wine Growers.
We'd love to. So it's that the premise of, you know, how if I can't get someone to my tasting room, how do I get them to taste my wine? So reach out. We'd love to do bottling projects for other producers.
And the packaging, I know nobody can see it on the radio, but it's so cool. It's 100% recyclable. Yeah. Having the samples in glass tubes or glass, you know, with screw cap.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a true Stelvin closure.
Yeah, I mean, that it's all just really, it's fun.
So, and do they sign up for sample on the region website? How do you, or is it a separate website? Oh, I'm seeing
sample.
Drinksample.com.
Yeah.
I see like that. Sample with an L, no E. So drink, SAMPL.com. Drink samples. That's where they sign up for that.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So talk about what's coming up for you all. And I know you do a lot in the community. Yeah. So maybe just talk a little bit about sort of how you're connecting back beyond sort of the walls of region. And
Well, it's our favorite time of year. So harvest is so beautiful in Sonoma County, and we're really seeing the visitors in October. It's crazy. But we're ramping up into holidays. We're full holiday mode already right now. Yep. I think we've already done some Christmas bottle shots and videos slow. So we have a couple of more featured winery of the weeks, and then we kind of break for our holidays just to give, it's hard to get the winemakers in and get their time.
They're traveling.
And you deserve a little break too.
Yeah, from the planning and everything. So Flambeau's coming up the first week in November, and then we're going to end with Aperture right before Thanksgiving. And then really just enjoy the holidays. We're going to do some fun sample promotions.
Great.
And some fun discounted options for our Premier Card members and people visiting, and then ramping up for 2025. Yeah. So this year, you know, we were big supporters of Dry Creek Passport Weekend. The Healdsburg Food and Wine is coming up. We were supporters of Taste of Sonoma last year. So really kind of diving into the associations and how they're involved in the community and how region can align with that and promote more wine drinkers than people visiting, because we're seeing a lot of outside, a lot of people from outside the county coming for those events, and the events are getting bigger and bigger. You know, they're starting on Thursdays now, and the tastings are on Friday and Saturday, and there's a fun Sunday thing. So it's all promoting all the winery partners that we know and love so well. So we're excited for 2025.
No, and we appreciate that. I mean, I think it just ties directly to your business model, but also sort of your values of being local and, you know, really supporting the businesses and partners that you work with. So it's been great for us, and we look forward to doing more with you all.
Yes, we're so excited. Yeah.
And this holiday season, we will be the first retailer to have build your own tasting kits to go. So when you come in, there'll be about 500 to 1,000 samples on the wall. So you can and you can choose or build your own red kit or white kit or tasting flight
so
to go.
Much. Is that going to be at both locations? So in Slo and up here in Barlow?
Yeah, he's been working on it. I'm like, I didn't know he was going to talk about it right now. It's almost ready. So we'll have it launched.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So you're going to do that for like a couple of weeks of time or like a major weekend
blowout? See how it goes through the holidays.
Stocking
stuffers,
kind of holidays,
sort of thing. And go from there.
I love that so much.
Be a game changer.
I also just love the fact that you actually read the Silicon Valley Wine Report and actually came up with multiple business ideas and models out of that. Like Rob McMillan would be so happy right now.
And especially at a time when they were still always doom and gloom, but less doom and gloom than they became.
Yes. Yes.
So that you seized on kind of like what were the positives and people what people were looking for out of that data and sort of met that head on.
Doom and gloom is an opportunity.
Right?
That's what I saw. Yeah, 100%. That was the inspiration that came out of it. Everything that Johan had put together, I was like, yes. I just said yes, like after the deck. Like, the wine industry needs this. We need this.
And it's more relevant than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
and it's just
really,
grown.
Really more relevant than ever.
4 years, it's crazy.
Yeah, so amazing.
Okay, we are out of time, but we're going to take another quick break and come back and wrap things up here on The Good Stuff. We're here to wrap things up with our guests, Carrie and Johan from Region. And we should quickly just mention your address is 180 Morris Street, Sebastopol, in the Barlow. Hours I have for you are Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So very, long. Sociable.
Extended.
Yes. Saturday, have a glass of wine after dinner.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and then Saturday, Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. So go at lunch. Go take a break, go walk around, go visit some wineries, come back, enjoy more wine at the Region.
Yeah. And go to their website, drinkregion.com, or follow them on Instagram at region.sonoma or at drinkregion. So lots of places to follow along and see all the exciting things they have going on and winemakers joining them and special events and build your own sample.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love so much
all.
To do.
Coming soon.
I know.
Including.
So including Tuesday Night Wine. I know we're going to put them on the spot.
I know. So,
I know. How are you feeling for this Tuesday?
I'm feeling great every Tuesday because...
and Monday, Sunday, Wednesday. Monday. Let's just be honest.
Because really every night is a good night to open a nice bottle of wine. And I think I'm going, you guys mentioned Flambeau, so I'm going with the Flambeau.
All right. Nice.
Love their Chardonnay, Sonoma Coast Chardonnay. So it's not Dry Creek, which, they're known and where they're based. But I'm going a little older, 2021.
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
I'm going to head over to the St. Francis Winery in Sonoma Valley and have their Reserve Merlot. It's getting into winter.
Fancy.
And I feel like I'm kind of gearing up for the holidays a little bit. Merlot's great for the holidays.
It's been happening lately.
How about you two? What's going on over there?
I think we're going to share a bottle of Fred and Judy Scher's Grenache from Kick Ranch up in Fountain Grove.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go join them.
Is one bottle really enough?
Yeah.
Are you doing a sample?
No.
Sample size?
We have multiple.
Okay, that's good.
Important. Very, very important.
Always bring a six pack.
I didn't even know they made a Grenache, so.
Yes, we're very excited. New on the wall.
I guess if I went to Region more often, I would know.
I know.
There you go.
There you have it. You're breaking out new wines.
Just have to start meeting there.
Maybe we should just do a live session.
Love to host.
Oh, we should.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea.
Jeff, I think Jeff's ready for that, right?
Our new producer is ready to go on the road.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. Oh my gosh, so much fun.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us today on The Good Stuff, Johan and Carrie, co-founders of Region here in Sebastopol and in SLO, and more to come.
Thank you so much for having us. We love your show. We love you guys.
Thank
we love you. What you're doing in the industry too.
Thanks.
So.
Same.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, Carissa, I hope you enjoy the good stuff.
Cheers to that.